What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're on episode 62, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going. With me this morning, as I always say every morning, pretty much, I think you've missed one or two of these podcasts, is Derek. What's up, Derek?
What's up, guys? How we doing today?
Well, you're not talking to anybody. We don't have a live audience.
Well, I mean, you can still say hi, and then you can say how you're doing.
Yeah, I'm.
Or you can just make everything awkward by pointing it out.
I know, I was just messing with you. I'm doing good. I feel good. I just came back from the gym, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been on that still every day?
Every day this week. Every morning.
Nice. So, yeah, so that's 2 weeks in a row?
Yes. And I feel really good. Like, it's a weird thing, because when you don't go for the gym for a while, you know, it's really hard to get back, for one.
It is.
And two, is that I feel like when I wasn't going to the gym, which was for a very long while, like, I hadn't gone to the gym. Like, I hadn't gone to the gym consistently.
Like,
I was going, like, one day here, one day there, but I wasn't going consistently. Mm-hmm. So going one day every couple weeks or whatever doesn't really help anyway. I mean, I guess it does, but it doesn't.
Better than nothing, but it's not the same. Yeah.
So I was getting tired, like, halfway through the day all of the time. Like, tired where I needed to take a nap, tired. And, like, that's one that hurts my productivity really bad. It messes up your sleep schedule if you end up, like, taking a nap and too long, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And now I'm fine. Like, all day I'm good. I feel more, more in tune with what I'm doing. I'm not tired. Like, I'm just, it's really good right now. So I just want to keep it up.
Yeah, and being healthy has a lot of benefits.
Yeah, so it's just, and it's a good thing. Like, it gets me up in the morning too, because I know I have somewhere to go.
Yeah,
you know, so it's good
for sure.
So hopefully I'll keep it up. But, you know, by the time CES rolls around, I'll be fit. So we'll see. Yes, but let's jump right into reviews this week, and we had three pretty cool products, and we'll start out with a case. And it was the Fractal Design Core 500. And if you know Fractal Design, you know their cases are extremely high-quality steel, really, really well-made. And they've brought that into the Mini ITX arena with the Core 500. So it's part of their Core series, but it's the small, really, really small Mini ITX case. And I did really like this case. It's one of the only Mini ITX cases its size that supports up to 280 millimeter water cooling, which is pretty impressive for such a very, very small case. I mean, this thing is very small. You know,
truly Mini ITX.
Yeah, truly Mini ITX case. It's not one of those ones that's a little bit bigger, you know, that's designed for everything. But this fits everything as well. So this will fit long graphics cards. This will fit full-size ATX power supplies. Again, you have the ability for 240 or 280 millimeter water coolers. So, you know, basically, besides only having, you know, a single graphics card in there, you can fit everything that you would normally fit in an ATX case, which is really nice.
Yeah.
You know.
And these days you can get by pretty well on a single graphics card.
Yeah, and what's even more impressive is that it actually has room inside for, I believe, 6 hard drives, which is crazy.
What?
6 hard drives in there.
6 full-size hard drives?
Now you're messing me up. 3 3.5-inch and 3 2.5-inch.
That's still impressive.
Yeah, I mean, that's more than enough for a system. I mean, especially these days, even the Mini ITX systems, a lot of them have the M.2s on them now. You know, so you eliminate one hard drive there. It's a really great case. The only gripe I really had with it was that the cable management was just...
Oh, I was going to ding you for that.
Yeah, the cable management is extremely hard in this case, and I think they could have... Because cable management in the Fractal Design cases is normally really, really good. Okay. And I know you have a smaller case in the Core 500, but I would have just liked a little bit more...
It looks like there's nowhere to really go with anything.
Yeah, that's what happens in these smaller cases, but I think they could have added an extra inch or some, you know what I mean, to...
But I'm like, I'm not seeing anywhere you can possibly hide anything.
Yeah, it's not about hiding. It's basically just like the way things go. And I think that other Mini ITX cases give you some sort of, okay, this is where this cable is going to go, this is where that cable is going to go type of thing.
But yeah, and then that leaves it hidden, or at least, yeah, like, organized, right?
Yeah.
Not necessarily hidden, I guess that's the wrong word, but, yeah, like, organized.
Yeah, this case had nothing like that, which is okay if, you know, but again, when you have cables everywhere, that messes up your airflow, and...
You got to regulate rat's nest going.
Yeah, there. So... It was extremely hard, especially once I had the 240 millimeter radiator in there. It was a bit difficult, but the installation was extremely easy.
It looks like it because it's so open.
Yeah, so open. Another thing that I didn't like, it's not a huge ding against Fractal Design, is that the top of the case, like the panel that you actually take off,
mm-hmm,
is the three-sided panel rather than the three distinct panels.
You don't always want to take the whole thing off.
Yeah, well, that, and it's just harder, especially when you have that cable mess, to get that all the way around and then put it on. Mm-hmm. I've never been a fan of the three-sided panel on these small cases.
Probably saves money on their part, though.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Thermaltake with their Mini ITX has the three panels, which is great. And all three of the panels are interchangeable in that case, which I also really like. But still, this is still a really good case.
I like the power supply cable.
Yeah.
It runs to the back, but the power supply doesn't actually have to mount to the back. That's smart.
Yeah, that's really smart. It's very well laid out. It's very well thought out. Again, the only things that I didn't like were the cable management and that three-sided top. I'm just not a fan of.
Okay.
What
are you paying for this?
I think it's only $60.
That's cheap.
Yeah. Most Mini ITX cases around this size are I think, $60. Like $50, $60, depending. And
how spec they are.
It's one of the only cases this size. There's other Mini ITX cases that are bigger that will fit like a 240 or 280 millimeter radiator, but in this size, this is one of the only ones. It's $68, which isn't. And I believe the MSRP, that might just be, oh no, it's $58.66 right now. So yeah, like $59.99 is like the MSRP on this thing.
Gotcha.
So, but it's okay. So it's one of the only ones that you could fit a 200 or 240 or 280 millimeter radiator. It's one of the only ones that has a lot of hard drive space, and not just 2.5, but also 3.5-inch hard drives. And you can fit a full ATX power supply and full graphics card. You just have to be careful with your cables for your power supply. Again, if you're building a system like this, you're going to pick the components that are going to work best in this.
Yeah.
So that's just something you have to think about, but it's a really good case.
How do you feel about that 5.25 bay?
It's not needed for me. It's not needed, but I think it's still great that they have it there. That it gives you the option. Now, if you have the 5.25-inch drive bay, you can't do the water cooling in the top. If you're making use of it,
you don't have to take that out.
You don't have to take the actual
cage
out. But if you mount a drive in there, you're going to lose the ability to do the water cooling up top.
Okay.
Or you could fit a 120 up top towards the back, but
gotcha.
Yeah, but still, like I said, I think this is a good case. I think that it's laid out well, and I think that it gives you all the options that you would want in a small system. Just work on better cable management, and that's pretty much it. But I did like it. I think for the price, it's a really good case. So
cool.
So yeah.
Looks nice.
So we'll move on from there to another more – I wouldn't say the Fractal Design's a budget case because most cases in that size are around that same price. But we have a – a mid-tower ATX case from Thermaltake that is a budget case, and it's not very well known because it's not primarily sold in the United States that much. It's pretty big over in Asia because it's fairly cheap. It's a $60 case from Thermaltake. It's their Versa N21, and this is one of those cases that it doesn't have, you know, all of like the big releases from Thermaltake. It doesn't have a lot of those features. It's just a case that looks really, really good. And has a really cool design to it. Kind of reminds me a lot of the early Raid Max cases, I would say, that have that really cool design that you really want, but then it's just kind of basic internally.
Yeah.
And I would say that's what this case is. Still a really great case for $60. It's a really unique case for $60, too, I think. And like I said, it's a full ATX case. It gives you everything that you would need to build a system.
Yeah, for sure.
You know. But it doesn't have any of the really cool features that you would find in any of the higher end Thermaltake cases. It's kind of just it's their budget case, but it is, you know, maybe a first time builder or somebody who is on a strict budget. This is a case that's going to look really good, I think, and it does give you, you know, some good cooling options and it has room for long graphics cards and all that kind of stuff. I think I do. You know, it's hard to find, I would say, a good budget case that looks good and also has good cooling. I think I just. I'm trying to think of the budget cases that are out there that are in the $60 range, and they're pretty horrible. But I think this one does a great job of looking good and giving you some pretty good cooling options as well.
Nice.
You know, but so if you're looking for a more unique budget case, this one is definitely one to look at. So definitely check out our review, and you can see what it's all about. Awesome. And we'll move on to another. It's like all budget stuff this week. We'll move on to a budget CPU cooler, which I was actually pretty impressed with. It's the CryoRig M9i. They also make an M9a, which is for AMD. The I, of course, is for Intel. And this is basically meant to be a replacement for the Intel stock cooler. They say it performs up to 39% better than the Intel stock cooler. Sadly, I don't have an Intel stock cooler, so I wasn't able to test it against that. Because I hate that cooler. I hate the Intel cooler. But what the big?
Would you just throw it away?
All of the Skylake chips don't even come with them.
Oh, that's right.
You know, all of the K series Skylake chips, even the we didn't get ours retail, but even the retail ones don't come with the cooler.
Yeah, that's right. Forgot about that.
But anyways, the big thing with this cooler is what I pointed out was if you're gonna create a cooler that's made to replace the Intel cooler, you need a couple things. And one is that it needs to have better performance than the Intel stock cooler, which I believe it does. Again, I wasn't able to directly test them, but based on my results, I could say it performs better. Secondly, it needs to be small and compact so it fits in pretty much every system. And it does. There's no RAM interference. It's guaranteed zero RAM interference. There's a ton of room to work with when you have it installed. It's not overly tall either, so it can fit in a mini ITX, just like that Core 500 case. It would easily fit in there. And thirdly, installation needs to be easy. And the installation here is quite easy for a CPU cooler. You don't have to do all that much besides take the fan off and screw it in and mount the backplate, which I don't think is all that difficult for pretty much anybody. If you know how to use screws, you can pretty much do this yourself.
Yeah.
So yeah, it has all of those three points covered. It does have pretty good performance. Now the idle performance is pretty bad, but I would say the load performance based on the size of the cooler is pretty good.
It's not that far off on load.
It's not that far off from some pretty super high end air coolers that I've tested, which is good. And you know, again, this is not meant to be a high performance cooler by any means. You know, like, it's not.
It's a budget cooler. Yeah.
It's not even meant to be a mid-range cooler or anything like that. It's $25. You know, it's $25 cooler. You know, if you double that and go to $50, you're going to go in the high performance. And this is only, you know, 5-6 degrees difference than the high performance coolers. So I would say this is definitely something if you're not going to get the Intel cooler, or if you don't, if you're not really doing any kind of crazy overclocking or anything, and you want to, you know, you're buying a K series processor or something like that, and you just want a cooler that's going to work and give you pretty good performance where you can run your computer 24/7, not have any issues. This is a great cooler for that, and it's not going to break the bank at $25.
So pretty much, this is right in line with like a Hyper 212.
Yes, very much so. I would say the Hyper 212 is a little bit taller.
Okay.
I can't remember how they do installation on that. But this might be easier to install too.
Okay. I don't believe it's that simple on the Cooler Master coolers.
Yeah.
I think I remember doing one and thinking this is a giant pain.
Yeah, so that's the biggest thing. Again, this is targeted towards, you know, people who aren't doing any kind of crazy overclocking or anything like that. A lot of first time builders. So making it easy to install is really great, you know. So I definitely liked it. I think it's worth the $25 that you're going to pay for it. So if you're a first-time builder just looking for an air cooler that's going to get the job done and you don't want to break the bank, this is the cooler for that.
Nice. And especially considering the Skylake isn't shipping with coolers, you do need to pick a solution, you know. So
yeah, and a lot of people, again, their main concern when it comes to building a system is processor, motherboard, video card. And they usually, if you're budget conscious, the things that you cheap out on typically are your case. Sadly, a lot of times the power supply.
Yeah, that's not
a lot of people cheap out on. But definitely the case, the cooler, and the power supply are what people cheap out on. So, you know, this won't break your bank at all, and it will be able to cool a Skylake or anything like that. So,
mm-hmm.
So yeah. So, we have something really awesome this week for Case Mod Friday, and typically we don't feature like full PC setups, but this week I found this really amazing setup, probably one of the coolest setups, one of the most expensive setups I've seen somebody put together. It's called the Command Center, and it definitely is a Command Center, that's for sure. And it still has an awesome PC built with it. But this guy, I wish I knew what he did. he has to do something, obviously, or he just has a lot of money to throw around. Yeah. But this is an entire PC setup, and we'll go over the PC first. So the PC is in the Inwin S frame, which is one of the coolest cases to come out in the past couple years.
Yeah, and super expensive.
And, the case is super expensive. It's limited edition. There's only so many out there. Yeah. And he has an X99 system inside of there, with four EVGA GTX 980 Ti's,
yeah.
The Kingpin editions. They're all water cooled. The entire system is water cooled, which is really, really awesome. He has the highest end Intel Core i7 5960X in there. You know, it's a really awesome system inside of there.
Yeah.
And what's really cool is he takes the water cooling, because there's really not much room in the S frame for radiators. He actually has a water cooling go outside the case, and he has the radiators mounted on this top
shelf.
Yeah, I guess you could call it top shelf. And it's really cool is he's built in the water cooling to the shelf to make it give it like some accent. It's really, really cool. It's one of the
he's got like the what would that be, 360 by 360, he's got a pair of 360 by 360 rads. And then they're on the shelf, and then below the shelf he's got rigid tubing that runs along it, so you can actually see the water cooling, and then he's got LEDs behind.
Yeah, it's super, super cool. You have to check out the photos. And that's just one of the PCs. The second PC he has there is a aquarium PC, which what kind of liquid is that?
It's mineral oil.
Yeah, mineral oil. So he has a PC running in mineral oil, and it's super, super cool the way he did it. He has the system in there, obviously. But he has a power supply inside the aquarium, and he has actually opened it up so you can kind of see the inside, which is kind of
cool.
He has an SSD in the mineral oil. It looks really, really cool. I haven't seen one of these in a while.
No, I've thought about doing one, but you really kind of got to go for it, and it's a mess.
Yeah.
Anytime you're going to do any sort of maintenance, it's a serious mess. So, but it's not a very extreme system, so it's probably just running like a media server.
Yeah, I assume this is a B85 system he has in there.
Yeah.
So I assume it's running some type of media server or something.
But it still looks really cool.
Yeah, it looks really, really cool. Something like if you would walk into somebody's house, you're like, what is that? Like, what is that? Is that a computer?
Oh, yeah.
Especially somebody who's not PC.
Yeah.
Knows nothing about PCs.
Blow their mind, yeah.
Yeah. So he has that. And then he has four awesome displays. He has three of the the Acer Predators. Those are 34-inch, which are $1,200 each. And then he has a Asus PG2709Q, which is their ROG Swift monitor, which is also quite expensive. And then he has some pretty insane audio equipment. If you're an audio geek, you definitely want to check out the system.
Yeah.
Because he has some really, really high-end audio equipment, like headphones that cost like $1,000, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, I would say most of the cost in this room is in his audio.
Yeah. So he has some really cool stuff. I would say this setup is anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000 with everything.
Yeah, maybe more.
Yeah.
Depends if you want to, like, because the room is pretty sick, too. It's got marble floors and stuff.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't consider the room, but I'm just talking about all of
the whole thing is part of it.
It's really, really cool, and he has, like, a Star Wars Battlefront. Or is that a Battlefront, or is that just Star Wars?
I think it's just a Star Wars.
Star Wars poster on one side, Fallout 4 poster on the other side. Really, really cool setup. His chair is $1,200. I believe that's the one that's $1,200.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just an insane setup. I definitely want to feature it because this is the setup I think most of us wish we had.
Yeah, I would guess this is probably a work at home setup.
Oh yeah, for sure. So, he must do something. If you look at the audio equipment that he has, and he has this really high end, it looks like a studio mic. He must be doing something. I don't know what he does. It wasn't really stated, or I didn't look hard enough. But he must be doing something. But it's really, really cool setup. I would love to have this in my house for sure. So definitely go ahead and check it out. I know it's a little bit different this week. It's not necessarily a case mod, but it's an entire setup that I think you will definitely.
Oh, we didn't even mention he's got a full server rack in there too.
Oh yeah, there's a whole server rack, and just the rack itself. Looking at it, that's at least $1,000.
Oh. The case? The rack?
Yeah, the rack.
More than that.
Just $1,000.
It's probably a lot more than that.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on here. Who knows what this guy does, but
whatever he does, I think I should be doing it so that I can have this same setup.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. So definitely go ahead and check this out. And definitely stay tuned next week because we'll be back to a normal case mod, but we thought this was super cool and we wanted to feature it, so definitely check.
I mean, it is a case mod in the sense his case is, you know, it's a nicely water cooled built up case. But it's nothing really special in the modded sense, but it still looks really good.
Yeah, I still think it's cool that he did all of the radiators externally. And I think that adds to the overall setup. I think it looks really, really cool.
You can do a lot with that. You just got to choose to go with that route, and obviously that's not portable at all, and any changes are really difficult to make, but you know, if you know exactly what you want with your cooling, external radiators aren't a bad idea if you have space for them.
Yeah, totally. So that's pretty awesome. Definitely check it out. Definitely let us know what you think about it, either on Facebook or even on the post. You can comment. Definitely, it's one of the craziest, I would say, setups I've seen. Really
it's
awesome.
Sick.
Yeah.
Awesome workspace and gaming space.
Yes, definitely. You have to do some gaming with those four 980 Ti's for sure.
Yeah.
So we will move on to news this week, and we do have a good amount of GPU news, which is usually what we start with. So it's very interesting, a lot of the stuff that's coming out about AMD, the Polaris 10.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
And for those who don't know, Polaris 10 is going to be the more high-performance chip out of the two Polaris chips. So it's going to be Polaris 11 and Polaris 10. Polaris 10 is expected to be the R9 490 and 490X.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Based off that. So what a lot of people are saying, it's really been rumored that the Polaris 10 will be as fast as a GTX 980 Ti, which I can see it being possible. You do have the die shrink and you have the more performance out of that. That just seems like it seems like we're getting to – are we really going to get to that point where, you know, because a GTX 980 Ti is $600.
Yeah, Polaris, I don't – one generation later, right?
Yeah, once one generation later. I know we're getting the die shrink. We're finally getting the die shrink, right? Because we've been on 28 nanometer for forever.
Yeah.
But – you know,
it's just a die shrink, though.
And if you think about it, too, the Fury X is 650.
Yeah.
You know, and you're saying it's that...
just a bit faster than the Ti, right? Or is the Ti just a bit faster?
Ti is a bit faster.
Just a bit faster.
And then we're going to jump to an R9 490X that's supposedly supposed to be $300 and get the same performance as those two cards.
According to this graph, you're going to get double the performance.
That's the price performance ratio.
Oh, price performance ratio. Okay. Sorry, I should have read the other line. But still.
I mean, I would love to see that jump.
Yeah. But how? It's on, you're really going to tell me with, you know, it's on GDDR5X. Fury X was HBM2, you know?
Yeah, but it's, I don't know.
I want to see actual benchmarks actual pricing. I don't think AMD would price it that low. If it really was that fast, I don't think they would price it that low.
Yeah, I don't think either. I think, if anything, if we do see performance that high, which I highly doubt it, but if we do see performance that high, it's going to be, not, it's going to be priced at $300. You know what I mean? I just don't see it.
That's like the technological dream that we all hope for.
And
but
how are they going to keep the Fury X line the same, even they'll, remotely the same
never,
price.
They'll never sell another one.
Yeah, because if you're going to get just as much performance...
Why would you spend twice as much money?
Yeah, and even if they drop the price of the Fury X, what's the point of getting...
And I doubt they can drop the price far enough. I would expect that the cost is too high because it's HBM. Or not HBM. I said HBM 2 earlier, sorry. Because it's HBM, you know?
Yeah, so it's this is just a weird thing. But, I mean, that's what people are saying.
So, well, people say a lot of things, you know?
Yeah, I just... All of these rumors that are going to be coming out up until Computex time and until these cars are released, obviously take them all with a grain of salt because we don't know. This is just what a lot of people are saying, and a lot of times people are wrong when it comes to these things.
Most of the time.
You know, yeah, usually most of the time. And a lot of people have, you know, it's a lot of these people, I wouldn't say it's all fanboys, but a lot of people, like when AMD announced the Fury line of cards, I was super excited for them because they made all of these claims and all of these great things, and then when they came out, it just wasn't there.
They were good, they just weren't. Leaps and bounds ahead.
Yeah, and, you know, you expected certain things to perform a certain way, and they didn't, you know. So, again, with all of these, just take it with a grain of salt, and we'll see once the actual cards get into the wild, and they get into real reviewers' hands, not AMD numbers either. That's a big thing, and that's a big thing with NVIDIA, too. With any of these cards, it's just you kind of, you know.
Yeah, and AMD especially, though, every time. Their numbers are not very... The leaked numbers are never very accurate.
Yeah. So, talking about Polaris, one interesting thing is that Polaris is, I guess, they're aiming for the VR market. And the reason that this is very important, there was an interview of AMD saying that they want Polaris to target the VR market. So that basically means that all of the Polaris-based cards will be VR capable, which means they will be able to play VR content. And if you think about it, that is at least the same performance as a GeForce GTX 970 or a Radeon R9 290. So that means that any Polaris card should perform as good, if not better, than those cards.
Right. And none of them are rebrands, right?
Correct.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah. So if that just... to me, says that we are going to see, because all of these cards that we've seen, the 390, the 290, what's before the 290? The 7870 or whatever that was. All of those have been rebrands. Mm-hmm. They've taken the same chip and they named it something else, and it was still the 28 nanometer or whatever it was, and it hasn't changed that much.
Yeah.
This is going to be a brand new chip. Smaller die. It's going to be, you know, I think this is where we're actually going to see somewhat a performance jump over the previous generation, I would hope. It just, all of these stories and all of these things are, we're expected to see a much better performance jump, I think, on both sides. I think on NVIDIA as well as AMD side, we're going to see at least this time, we're going to see
a good amount.
Yeah. So hopefully that's true, you know. And with that, AMD has already been lowering the prices of their mainstream cards. So like a 380X is already down to 229, R9 280 or 285 is 249, the 280X is 299, and the 7870 is 349. So a lot of price drops coming up, and you're going to see a lot more. So if you're looking to get a card, even if you're looking to get like a GTX 970. Yeah. Wait a little bit because they're going to be announcing the new cards here in the next couple months, and you'll definitely be able to get one at a lower price. And they will still play all the games that are out right now. I mean,
yeah, and remember, 970 is VR ready, so
yeah, so definitely I would wait a little bit for that. So AMD released their Radeon Pro Duo this week, which nobody really knew about because it wasn't even. It's available, you can buy it, but there was no reviews, which is very interesting to me. I don't know if the reviews weren't ready or if AMD just didn't sample because they had that whole debacle with the what card was that?
Isn't it the Fury?
No.
Fury X?
The small one.
Oh, the Nano?
The Nano. They had a big what would you call it? Controversy with the name. Oh, it didn't happen with the Fury too, because like some outlets, not naming anybody, gave it amazing reviews. Everybody else gave it a, you know. So there was no reviews, although EXP Review leaked their results before the official NDA, apparently. And it looks to be, I mean, it's definitely the fastest card out there, single slot card out there. It is 32% faster at 1080p. And 59.4 faster at 4K than the 980 Ti, which is expected. It is a dual GPU card. It is basically twice as expensive.
More than twice.
Yeah. So, you know.
I mean, yeah, the 1080p speed is not impressive. That would be a fail.
It shouldn't
which
be.
Is odd.
It shouldn't be either, because it can't. You're going to see with this card, it's going to be better at 4K. The 1080p, it can only do so much.
Yeah.
You know, so the results, I mean, it's expected. It's not something I didn't expect. I didn't expect it to be like 10% faster or 20% faster. I did expect a pretty high. But it was just really interesting that it was released this week and wasn't really talked about all that much. At least to me, it wasn't all over all of the sites or anything. And I don't think – I mean, you can check now, but I don't know if there's that many reviews even out.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're trying to protect themselves.
Yeah, I mean, let's see here. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of reviews out, but not a whole lot. And I don't think these are announcements. Let's see. Yeah, see, so all of these people, like the Hard OCP has an article on it, and it's just a launch article. It's not a review. I don't think, let me look at the other one. That was the big thing, because usually when you have a card available, reviews are out that day.
Yeah, because they've already been sampled out.
Let's see. So all of these look to be just the press decks.
Hopefully it's not that they're trying to avoid criticism.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. Maybe, I mean, even if there's not a lot out there, it looks like some people have them, but the reviews aren't out for whatever reason. So that's kind of weird to me.
Maybe they didn't arrive until the release date.
Yeah.
You would still think that they would just be jamming on getting the review out.
Yeah, because all of these ones that say review are just the press deck and talking about it. Yeah, look at the Forbes article. Let's see. I mean, all of these just don't. Yeah, I mean, none of these are.
Is it not? It's not actually for sale, though.
I believe it is.
I'm not finding anything for it.
Might not. I just find it weird because the 26th was the day it was supposed to be released. You know.
Yeah, maybe they had production issues.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird. And we're
probably not production issue, maybe import issues?
I don't think.
We've seen that.
Yeah, it's just weird that there's no reviews yet. I'm almost positive people have the card, so.
Yeah.
Might be a driver issue, too. Yeah,
could be.
That was a big thing. Especially when it comes to these dual GPU cards, and dual GPU in general with AMD has never been good with their drivers, so that could be an issue too.
Yep.
So, check out the leaked results that we do have. I think it's like the only one that's out there, and I think they pulled that down already.
They are available on Amazon.
They are?
Yeah, Amazon has two left.
Yeah, so I mean, they're out there, and you can buy them, so it's just weird that we don't see reviews.
It's weird that Newegg didn't have any.
Yeah. They might have been sold out already, or you know,
it would still have a for sale thing.
Yeah,
there were no search results for it.
I don't know, but again, it's just like, I just find it extremely odd that there's just no reviews.
Very strange.
Yeah. So, but we have the performance results because I think that was actually taken down too. So we do have the performance results, so you can go ahead and check them out if you want to see how it performs against a 980 Ti, which is the best equivalent or highest performance a single slot, or yeah, single slot card from NVIDIA. So if you want to see the difference, so go ahead and check that out. Talking about NVIDIA, photos of the Pascal GP104 GPU were leaked to the web. And it gives you a good idea, and this definitely confirms that there's no HBM2 on any of the GP104 GPUs, which is completely expected. And there's going to be two GP1, and it also confirms that there's going to be two separate GP104 chips. You'll have the GP104-200 and the GP104-400. And the 400 chip, that will power the GTX 1080. And I believe the GP104-200 will power the GTX 1070. And obviously the 200 is a cut down version of the 400, so they're both the same size. And it looks like they both will feature 8 gigabytes of GDDR5 or GDDR5X. I believe the 1080 is going to have the GDDR5X, while the 1070 is going to have the just GDDR5, which is going
to be super lame.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see. But we get a look at these chips, and you can see what they look like. Obviously, much smaller because they do have the die shrink. So,
gosh, I kind of hope that AMD smashes them this time around so that NVIDIA will actually put out some decent parts.
Yeah.
That's really not impressive what they're doing here.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is it's a efficiency thing too, so we'll the biggest thing again with all of these cards is we have to see how they perform and how they perform against each other. It's just like it's not exciting. It's like
you're selling me the same thing that you've sold me for the past 4 years. Great.
Yeah, so but it could, you know, with the new architecture we could see a lot of performance. We don't know, you know. It's just we're gonna have to see.
Yeah.
See how the performance is. So talking about stuff that's not out yet, it looks like 3 Intel Broadwell E, that's the high end desktop processors, were listed on eBay this week. And these claim to be new unused Intel Broadwell E processors that aren't even out yet.
Yeah, and you know the prices really aren't that bad.
And the prices aren't horrible.
That's right around what they're gonna sell for.
Yeah, so that's pretty interesting. Now these are they say Intel confidential on them, which means they're engineering samples.
Yeah, so they probably sell. But
somebody at Intel or somebody who Intel sent these to is selling them.
Yeah,
Or got a hold of them somehow. And Intel is not a fan of that at all, especially before they're leaked.
Right.
And these will work on any X99 motherboard if you have the latest BIOS that supports them. I didn't even check if these BIOSes are available yet. They should be coming out soon.
Yeah.
But the Broadwell E processors are supposed to launch around Computex time.
I guess those BIOSes are just becoming available.
Yeah. So, you could definitely, I assume if you emailed any of these motherboard manufacturers and say, hey, you can just be like, hey, I'm testing this, or
can I get a BIOS? Yeah.
Yeah, they would definitely send you one. I don't see why not. So, So that's,
I don't know if I'd buy one though. One of these, like I'd have to really want it.
Yeah.
And I don't see.
I've never bought a processor used. I've bought new ones. Buying a processor used is very iffy in my opinion.
I don't know. I've bought used processors and it's turned out really fine. Yes. But it depends on where you're going from. eBay, that's questionable.
Yeah, eBay is really questionable.
A pre-release part is on eBay is what is questionable to me.
Yeah, that's super questionable.
Yeah. I mean, how hard would it be? I mean, I guess the build probably is different. The heat's better. It looks different. But like, it wouldn't be that hard to laser etch the top of a piece of metal.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. So, I wouldn't go buy any of these. I think one of them already sold. They might all be sold by now.
Yeah, probably. Somebody always buys that.
Yeah. So, we have a really fun story, and this is no surprise to me or probably you or probably anybody that's a PC person, but Mac people always assume, especially when it comes to high-end Macs, that the Macs are super high performance, and it's just not true.
You know, it's not only just the Macs that they assume about, it's that they assume that all like photo and video editing is faster on a Mac.
Yeah. Now, I do have to say that's for video editing. If you're using Final Cut Pro, it's designed for Mac.
Right.
And it's going to perform, I mean, obviously it's going to perform best on a Mac because it's a Mac only program. And that's where you have the advantage. And that's why a lot of designers do use Mac products, because Final Cut Pro is designed for that. And it does perform best on that. I would say that. Now, if you're using any Adobe products, there's no reason why you should be using a Mac over a PC if you're going to try to get the most performance out of your product.
Yeah.
So the guys over at where is it? At SLR Lounge, which is a website for SLR people who do a lot of editing in Lightroom, which a lot of photographers use. They did a test against a 27-inch iMac, which cost $4,431 against a $4,370 custom-built PC. And the results were that the iMac was anywhere from 26% to 114% slower than the PC. again, this is because the PC is just a better performance for your money. It's always been that way. Even when it comes to the laptops, everything.
Yeah, I am looking at the original article, though. And they're only the PC version is only running at 1440p. Mm. Which is a huge difference. So I was that even mentioned? Did you read the original article?
Yeah.
Did they address that? Because the Mac is 5K.
Yeah, but you're not.
I mean, it's literally just you're literally rendering more pixels on the Mac.
Yeah, but it's Lightroom. It's not.
It's still more pixels.
It's not.
I don't know if I believe these results or like find them valid anymore. That's like comparing. It's like comparing two different things, though.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But with Lightroom, you're just displaying a photo. You're not rendering anything.
Yes, you are. You have to color every pixel. Still has to be colored.
Yeah, but that's
that's part of the load time. That's the fetch time. Everything has to do with when you you're displaying literally less of the photo. You're not drawing as many pixels, so it's going to change the performance.
I don't see that as a factor. Maybe I don't.
It also factors heavily into the price too.
I'm looking at the stuff. Like they use both machines use 2048 pixels in the same medium quality. I mean, I think they use the same display size on these.
If they use the same display size, then it's valid.
Yeah, I think they did. Because I'm actually reading the thing.
Okay. Because that's what I was wondering. And the truth, though, is still that 5K display in the Mac is, regardless of how the price is worked out, that's a really expensive display.
Yeah.
And somehow they spent $1,000 on a 1440p IPS, which is a ridiculous waste of money. You can get one for much less than that. I would have expected them to at least incorporate a 4K display, but I guess if you're trying to hit the price point, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
They also made some weird selections. They went with a ROG Rampage 5. You could have done with a cheaper processor, yeah, I think, or cheaper motherboard.
From when I read this, is that they've had this system for a while. This is just like the system that they had, and this is the prices that they bought it. I think they've had it for a year. Or close to a year.
Yeah, I mean, it's not new stuff.
Yeah, so I think that's what they were comparing, basically.
Okay. I mean, people love this stuff, and I like watching Mac lose, too, but, like, I'm like a stickler for good comparisons.
Yeah,
and,
I believe
like scientific results.
I'm almost positive all of the tests were at the same resolution.
Okay.
I'm almost positive.
All right.
And a lot of them are like import tests too.
Which has nothing to do with
which
the
has
render,
nothing
yeah.
to do. like, yeah, re-imports
that's,
and things
like
that.
That's more like drive speeds.
Yeah, and, drive speeds and processor speeds. I think that's the big thing with a lot of these. So, yeah. So, I don't think it has a lot to do with the display. But, I mean, good thing for pointing that out, though.
Yeah, I mean...
You know, because if you do, if you would get a higher end display that matches the Retina display, you're going to put up the price of that PC by a lot.
By like $2,000 or $3,000.
Yeah. So, but again, I would say still, if you're doing any type of work, whether it's video or anything with an Adobe product, you're going to get more performance out of a PC. It's, yeah. You know, for the price that you're spending, it's just.
I mean. Don't get me wrong, I do all of my photo editing on a 1440p IPS, and it's fantastic. Now, a 4K would be better, and I could definitely have a much more expensive, like a better color gamut, right?
Yeah.
Than what I've got, but it's still plenty. It's just when you're talking about a comparison to, you know.
Yeah, I think, but the thing is, too, is that, you know, I would never say anything bad about a Mac because again, you're getting all of what you get in the display. There's yeah. no box or anything, yeah. and there's yeah. no building or anything. You just get it, plug it in, you're good to go. You don't have to do anything,
yeah. and you don't learn anything.
Yeah,
you just use it.
Yeah, you just use it. Yeah, so that's the thing is that if you want something that's going to work for what you're doing. You just buy an iMac and you plug it in, and that's fine for a lot of people. I mean, I think that's and I really do suggest people who know really nothing about computers and they're asking me what's a good laptop. I always say Lenovo first because I love Lenovo products. But I said if you want something that's easy and a lot of people are worried about viruses and certain things, I said just get like a Mac and you'll be fine. You know, and a lot of these people are iPhone users too, and they're in that whole ecosystem. So I do suggest them. They're not bad products, I would say. But if you're going to be a power user, if you're going to be somebody who wants the most performance for their money, PC is always the way to go. It's just,
right. No, definitely.
Yeah.
If you know what you're doing, definitely build a PC.
Yeah. And you can obviously tweak a PC more. You can do more things with it as well. But really cool comparison. It's very interesting. It's cool to see it come from not like a PC related site. This is a site for camera people.
Yeah.
And I think it opens a lot of people's eyes who are in that space because, you know, a lot of those people don't really follow this tech stuff as much. So I thought that was really cool, and that's why I featured this article.
There's a reason that Apple owns essentially the camera world. It's these are artists, right? They are professionals. They've learned to use their programs, and they don't care about the rest of it.
Yeah.
For the most part. I mean, a lot of them are probably techies or whatever or what have you. But I think that ultimately most of them just want to import their photos and edit them, you know, with the least amount of extra struggle as possible. So it's really cool to see this displayed in the camera world. So just to point out, you know, it's, you know, maybe this is something you know you want to look at, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So that's cool.
Definitely a cool comparison. Definitely check it out. We have it linked in our article so you can read all of the results there. So pretty cool. That really cool Fantex Evolve ATX tempered glass edition came out today officially.
Yeah.
This is the one that you got to see at CES.
It did,
This is their Evolve ATX, which I have not reviewed, but you reviewed it and you really really liked it.
I've got it sitting right behind me.
Yeah.
Actually, I did the water cooling 101 series in this case.
Yeah.
And it was a breeze to build in, first of all. And then like. I've not like worked on that for a minute, and then the other day I was rebuilding it because I'm trying to sell it, and I'm like, man, this case is just awesome. Like, it's seriously a great case.
Yeah. So what they've done is that case has been out for a pretty good while now, at CES they showed it with two tempered glass. These are not acrylic; these are true, real tempered glass panels on each side. So not only do you get to show off your main system, but you get to show off the back of the case as well. And this is released today. It's going to be available from April. It is April.
Should be available now.
Yeah, it should be available now today. If not today, tomorrow it will be up on all of the major retailers. And it has an MSRP of $189.99. Which what's the regular MSRP on the Evolve ATX? I don't know.
180. $169 after rebate on Newegg.
Yeah, so it's still
they don't have the tempered glass version up yet. Maybe that price will actually drop too.
Yeah, that price might drop. So it's pretty cool. I think that's and they've also added the LED at the front, the power. I guess it's a power. Is that
no,
the power?
That's been on there.
But is it RGB?
No, it's colored. The regular version comes with multiple LEDs, so you can swap them out. Is it RGB now?
Yeah, this one's RGB now. That's cool. They've added that as well. So pretty cool updates to this case. I love anything tempered glass, and it's great to see more case manufacturers doing it. So this is available now, so definitely check that out.
The only downside to this when I saw it was that the glass doesn't have a hinge on the back of it.
Yeah.
Because it's really heavy. So, yeah, it's...
Yeah, so you have to remove four screws to take it out.
Yeah, which isn't a big deal, but it is nice when you're accessing your case often to just swing that door open.
Yeah, for sure, totally. I love cases that have the doors like that. It just makes it so much easier.
Yes.
So PAX East was this past weekend, and there were some cool things at the show, mostly gaming stuff, but... Gigabyte was there, and they showed off some new X99 motherboards that are coming up. And these are brand new. They're not out yet. So they showed off the X99 Design Air EX, the X99 Phoenix SLI G1 Gaming, and the X99 Ultra Gaming. So the highest one, or the highest...
Model,
you would say, is the X99 Design Air, and that is a new series. So we're going to be seeing a new series from Gigabyte called Design Air. I don't know if I'm saying that.
Honestly, I don't know. It throws me every time I read it.
Yeah, so I assume these are designed for designers, for people who are creating content on their PC. I assume that's what the
brand it's gotta is for, be.
Because you have your gaming line, you have your overclocking line, and, you know, that makes a lot of sense because a lot of people who are creating content do need high-performance systems, whether video editing, you need a high-performance system. And obviously X99 is the way to go if you're doing any type of encoding or anything like that. So this new board's pretty cool. And what's interesting about all of these boards is you have the U.2 connector on there.
That's really interesting.
So that is the new connector, and I think we're going to see a lot of that with the new X99 boards, as well as you might see it added in the Z170 line. The Z170 refreshes, you might see it as well.
So, but in this case, we don't have M.2 because the U.2 replaces it, correct?
Correct.
So they use the same PCI Express lanes that the M.2 would have used?
Yes.
And it's just a different connector type.
Yes.
Gotcha.
I think that they're trying to make the U.2 more popular.
Okay.
You know.
Is it faster?
What's
the advantage to U.2? I'm rather unfamiliar with U.2.
Me either. Because we'll talk about it a little bit later, but I just was learning about NVMe, so I'm not exactly sure. we should probably know this before we start talking about
it on the podcast.
Yeah.
So the U.2 is NVMe.
Okay, that's why then. So typically for NVMe, you would need a PCI Express slot. So this basically gets rid of having to use one of your PCI Express slots.
Okay.
Because the advantage of NVMe is that there's no interference, right? So when you're doing even a normal PCI Express solid state drive, most of them, if they're not NVMe, it is you have either like a M.2 to PCI Express adapter, or like a controller. Like you have an M.2 controller that goes to PCI Express that and then it has to go through all those different channels.
Yes,
NVMe is direct. It allows you more access. It allows you.
So it's the drive straight into the lanes.
Yeah, and it's less CPU interference and all that kind of stuff. It's much, much faster because I've been testing an NVMe drive here, and it's awesome.
Okay.
So that's basically, I guess, what this U2 is. It's just a connector.
So the U2 is the connector type for NVMe.
And you can get NVMe drives that are the Intel drive that I'm testing comes in a U.2 version as well.
Oh, okay. So the U.2, because the one thing that I like about M.2 is that the drives can be, you know, installed straight onto your board. Is yes. U.2 that would go back to like a 2.5-inch form factor drive?
Yes.
Okay.
But a couple of these boards do have M.2 slots on them as well as the U.2.
Okay.
But I think they're just giving up
somewhere else.
Yeah, I think that they're giving the option here, especially for people, again, who want the speed of the U.2 but don't want to sacrifice a PCI Express slot.
Right.
You know, because...
Well, and I can see on this board, too, it's a big board. You're putting it in a big case. You probably don't care about, you know, saving space with a board-mounted M.2 drive.
Yeah. It's cool to see the interface, and I think a lot of doing my research on NVMe is that U.2 NVMe is going to replace the HCI protocol. So
right.
Eventually. So I think that's just, you know, these are kind of going into the future and using new technologies, just like SATA Express. It's the same type of thing.
Gotcha.
You know, so all of these new boards have that. Talking about the design air, though, we see some things that we don't see in a lot of the X99 boards. First is that not only are the PCI Express slots, but also the RAM slots are now shielded. We saw that on a couple X99 boards from other companies.
That's
now
great.
Yeah, now you're seeing it there. The Design Air series does have the thermal armor. And
it's blue.
It's white with blue accents, which you really
awesome.
Like. Yeah, it looks
really
cool.
It looks so much better.
It looks really, really
cool.
In my
opinion.
It's just a cool-looking board. I'm excited to see this series and see what Gigabyte has in store for us on this series. This is the first Design Air board that I've seen, and I really like it. All of these boards have the amp-up audio, which is a really great audio solution, too. So it's just a really, really cool one. It's really good to see a refresh. And these not only will support the current Haswell E processors, but obviously these are going to be made for the Broadwell E launch, which should happen in about a month. So pretty pumped
for
that.
Get yourself a sick new processor and a sick new motherboard.
Yes, definitely.
I'm like, once again, like, and I do this every time, like, new parts come out, I'm like trying to figure out how I can buy this.
Yeah.
And still live in my home.
Yeah, X99 is not an easy thing to get into because it's very, very expensive processors. Yeah. I think the cheapest one is 400 or something.
Yeah, I guess you could go back to like a
400. Yeah, but it's kind of pointless to do the Haswell E because then you just lose all your PCI Express lanes because it only has 28 in the lower end processor. And then the two higher ones have the 40. So it's, you know.
Plus you really want, what is that? It's the 12 core that's coming out, right? Or is it 16?
I believe it's a 10 core.
10?
I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's 10
core. But I mean, that's what you want anyway. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
So get your $1,500 ready?
Yeah, that's how much it's expected to be, yes.
Yeah.
So.
And then this board would probably be in the $400 to $500 range?
I would say $350.
You think?
Yeah, maybe. I would say around $350.
Okay. That would be. I mean, that's, you know, that's less than $2,000. So, I mean, what is that? That's nothing.
Hell, yeah. Talking about expensive things, also at PAX was Inwin. And they showed off their brand new D-Frame 2.0. So we're seeing a lot of these 2.0 cases from Inwin. We saw the H-Frame 2.0?
Yeah.
At CES, and this is the D-Frame 2.0, and it's much like the original D-Frame, that same open-air design, really, really cool. They've gone with a two-tone design, so the front and the top is chrome now, and then the bottom and the back is black, which I think looks pretty cool. This one also, I believe, the details were kind of sketchy, so I wasn't exactly sure, but I think this one also comes with that custom PSU.
Oh, okay. I was wondering. Yeah.
Yeah, because it looks like the same one.
It looks really wide, yeah.
Yeah, so custom CPU or PC. Ugh, man.
Power supply?
Yeah, custom power supply that will fit back there. But I believe it also fits normal size power supplies as well. So it's expected to retail for $1,000.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely got to have that custom power supply.
Well, then. They say with the power supply, it's $1,500.
What?
Yeah, so I don't know. Again, these details are extremely sketchy because we weren't at PAX, and that just seems that's more expensive than the S frame, which I feel is a better case. So I don't know what the deal is.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the D frame is it's a mid to small tower, isn't it?
I believe this one's a little bit bigger. This is okay. This is a full ATX system in there. But yeah, I mean, these prices and the info that we got was not the best. So I'm not exactly sure. Just like Inwin was also showing a brand new 303 case again. And the information that we got says that this case is $80, which seems pretty awesome if you look at the case. Seems like a really nice case.
Probably the cheapest Inwin case you can buy.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. It looks a little different. Again, we didn't get a lot of details on this stuff.
Oh, I like the light panel in the front.
Yeah, I thought that looked really, really cool. But again,
for $80, I doubt it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like these, I'm not sure.
It'll have to have like nothing inside it.
Yeah. So, excited to see new stuff from both Gigabyte and Inwin. We definitely got the Gigabyte info correct. The Inwin stuff is just
More rumor at this point.
It's not. I mean, they're real. We have the photos, right, but prices and the details and all that were not really well done, so we don't know the details. But these are real. Info on when these cases will be out, but it's great to see them working on this. And Computex is in a month, and we'll have all of the details on all of this stuff. Definitely stay tuned for all that. But it's definitely exciting. Sure. I like seeing new stuff from Inwin for sure.
I like the if you notice on that 303, the top rad 360 rad is mounted like vertically.
Yeah, I see. I don't know if that's part of the case or it's built like that to show off. You know what I mean?
It's just modded to do that.
Yeah. So again, we don't know.
I want to say though that it's got these four screws, this four silver screws.
Yeah.
That are actually set in the recessed channel at the top.
Yeah, I see that.
I want to say that those are probably holding the radiator.
Probably. But again, we don't.
That's cool.
Yeah, we don't know. It's really really cool. If you know, once we get more details on these things, we'll definitely let you guys know. Yeah. But another,
I'm just speculating.
Yeah. You're excited. I know you like Inwin cases.
Yeah, I do.
So another really cool thing at PAX, which I thought was probably one of the coolest things that I saw from a show, was that Logitech was there, obviously. And they had a wall of their GA10 illuminated gaming keyboards. And they made this wall of keyboards, since they're illuminated, run a really cool retro gaming display, which I thought was awesome. I think it's a really cool installation. It is... obviously has nothing to do with the keyboards besides that it just shows off their lighting effects.
Yeah.
But I think it's really cool, and I think it's cool when companies do this to bring attention to their booth or their brand or whatever. And I thought it was really, really cool. And there's actually a video showing it off. You should definitely check that out.
It's pretty sweet, like software mod.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. I mean, just imagine 160 keyboards put on a wall and playing this retro game video that they had made. It was really, really cool. I thought it was really, really cool and really something that, you know, PAX is typically made for gaming games, actual real games, not gaming, the actual gaming hardware and stuff.
Yeah.
So this is something that is totally gaming related because they were showing like a retro kind of like 8-bit looking display that they had going. So I thought that was super, super cool.
I think peripherals like this apply pretty well to PAX.
Yeah, so that's really, really cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
And we have
and just to like explain it a little further, it's like imagine that the keys themselves are the pixels, right?
Yes.
So just to, they're so that's the boards are facing you.
Yes.
Just in case you're not understanding
fully. Definitely check out the video that we have in the articles. They're really, really cool.
Yes.
So talking about a non-PC related thing, but I thought was super awesome, and it looks like as I look at the article, the video has been taken down.
Oh boy.
Or it's private now, so I don't know if they accidentally leaked it or what happened. But Microsoft has a new special edition Xbox, and we've seen these Xboxes since the Xbox had come out. Obviously, the big ones that have come out in the past were like the Halo Xbox Ones and the Call of Duty Xbox Ones, and now there's an Iron Man Xbox One. And this one I thought was super, super cool because it has a real arc reactor that lights up. if you don't know what that is, go watch Iron Man, the first one, because it's the best one.
Yeah.
And it has a real arc reactor that lights up. The Xbox is all white. It looks super cool. And there's only a couple of these being made, and they're giving some away. Apparently they were giving some away, but I don't know why the video is private now. And the video is from Microsoft specifically. So I don't know what if they...
Maybe it was accidentally early released or something.
So this is made in conjunction with the... what movie is coming out? It's not an Iron Man specific. It's Captain America Civil War.
Civil War. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is made in conjunction with that. It's really cool. The Xbox has Stark Industries on it. It's really really cool looking.
It's white with the arc reactor set in the middle.
Let me see if they took it off their Facebook.
They actually had it on their Facebook and YouTube.
They had it on Facebook. You could probably hear it. I just turned it on. it's definitely still on the Microsoft or Xbox France thing. I don't know why they took it off YouTube. Not specifically sure. But the video is still on there. We do have a link to it on the article. If you click on where it says Microsoft France, that will link you to the video, and you can go ahead and check it out. But very, very cool. Again, not super PC related, but I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And then finally, our last crazy story of the week, and this is not, again, not PC related, but I thought it was one of the coolest things I've seen in a very long time, is that this guy, Colin Furs, I guess that's how you say his name, he's a big YouTuber, and he builds really crazy contraptions and things, and he built a homemade hover bike. This is a bike that flies basically,
right? Thus the name hover.
Yeah. And it's super super cool. He used two motors and propellers that are actually designed for parasailing, and he built them into this bike, and it goes off the ground, and he's able to ride it around, which is I think insane. And what's really cool is that this guy is not an engineer or anything like that. He just builds crazy things, and this is what he built, and I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And I would love to ride this thing. And it's very impressive that he doesn't kill himself on this thing.
Yeah, like that's all I picture is falling into the blades and dying. Yeah. So. Essentially, it's like two miniature helicopters, one in front and one behind him, and he straddles the thing in the middle and spins around in circles on it.
Yeah, it's really really cool. I will give the video in the articles, so definitely check it out. I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that before.
Do you think this is the future, Bob?
It needs to be 100 times safer for it to be released as a commercial product. I don't think you'll
ever see got little nets so that he can't fall into the blades forward, right? But like, what happens if he falls off and then it just comes down on top of him?
Yeah, that's just...
I'm just saying, you know?
Yeah. So, but he does have it. So, I was watching the video when he holds the handlebars; those are like the on and off for the propellers. So, as soon as he lets go, they turn off, which is obviously safe.
Oh, okay.
Oh, somewhat safe.
Yeah,
you would say that. So that's our crazy story for the week. No gaming stories this week. We'll go to what we have coming up next week. And as I talked about, I'll be taking a look at Intel's SSD 750 series. That is their NVMe solid-state drive, and I have the PCI Express version. And it's really cool because I got to learn a lot about NVMe when I was doing the review. It's really, really cool. And this is what you're going to see in the future. As things progress, you're going to see a lot of NVMe and the benefits of it, and I talk about that in the review, so definitely stay tuned for that. I'll be taking a look at the Gigabyte Bricks PC kit, and if you're not familiar with Gigabyte Bricks, they're these really small, compact PCs that can do a lot of cool stuff. It all depends on which one you get, but the one that I have is Skylake-based, which is really cool. Nice. And they're really high performance. Imagine a little small... cube. I don't want to call it cube, but it's very very small. I have the box right next to me. It's a very small PC kit, and allows you to have a fully functioning PC in a very small package, and obviously you can do a lot with it, and I'll be going over all that in my full review, so stay tuned for that.
Is yours a Thunderbolt 2? Because that was, I remember at CES that was a big deal, their bricks had Thunderbolt.
I'd have to look. Let me
look. They really wanted to talk to me a lot about the bricks. I did not have a lot of time for that.
Yeah, I don't think. Okay. I'm not sure. I'll have to look. But we have that, and then finally I'll be taking a look at Zalman's Z9 Neo, and I have the white version, which is pretty cool. And that is one of their new cases, and we'll be doing something special. So that is a review that you're definitely going to be wanting to check out, because we have some cool stuff going on with it, which I'm not going to say yet. We'll be announcing it next week, so definitely stay tuned for all of that. I love white cases, so I'm pretty excited to check out this case from Zalman. Looks... And it's been a while since we've taken a look at something from Zalman, so I'm pretty pumped.
Yeah,
I did take a look at that keyboard, but as far as cases and stuff, we haven't taken a look
at it. Yeah, we haven't seen cases, coolers, nothing.
Yeah, so excited to check this out and see how Zalman's doing in the case world, because I was a fan of their cases in the past. So we'll see what's up with this new case. And that is basically it for the podcast. As always, I like to see if Derek did anything this week.
Find out how lame Derek's life is this week.
Yeah, did you do anything fun this week?
I worked on a review, but I did watch Silicon Valley.
I haven't watched it, so don't say anything.
I'm pretty excited for the season. It left me with a good feeling at the end. I did not get to Game of Thrones, unfortunately, so I'll have to make time for that.
I have not watched a single one.
No. Did you do anything at all?
I've been going to the gym.
Okay.
I think that's it. I'm trying to think. Hockey playoffs are still going on. Penguins are in the second round. I'm pretty pumped about that. If you're not a hockey fan, this is a series you're going to be wanting to watch, I would say. So if you're not into hockey, I believe all games in this series are on national TV, so you'll be able to watch them if you get cable. And it is the best team in the league, which is the Capitals versus the Penguins, who are the best team going into the playoffs. The first game was last night. The Penguins lost in overtime. But if it's any indication of how the series is going to go, a lot of people are saying the series is going to go to 7 games, so I'm pretty excited about it. The game last night was awesome. I'm not super bummed that we lost, but it was a good game.
I mean, you gotta be a little disappointed.
You have to win 4. So I mean, and it was a away game. It wasn't a home game, so you expect to lose one of the two. So next game is Saturday. So I'm pretty pumped. It's gonna be a great series. So that's pretty much my plan for this next upcoming week. So
cool.
So yeah. So that is basically it for our podcast this week. As always, we will have a show notes page that has everything that you want to know about what we talked about. You can go ahead and click through and check out all the articles, especially when I say go check out the video or go check out the pictures that we have there. They're all in there. Everything is all together. And on all of your podcasting services, however you listen to this podcast, it's just Think Computers, all one word. If you don't have us bookmarked or followed or subscribed or whatever, go ahead and do that. We do the podcast usually every Friday.
Pretty much. Yeah. At least every week.
Yeah, at least every week unless something crazy happens. So definitely subscribe if you can. And until next week, catch you guys later.